Sender Snippets is sponsored by Renee Jack Nussbaum, Lila Nishmas, Odo Bas Yehuda Tzvi. And tonight, we finally are Mesayim. We conclude our explanation of Ashrei with the final Pasuk. And as we pointed out in the last installment, the last Pasuk is not really the last Pasuk. Ashrei is actually a composite from five different chapters, five separate prakim of Tehillim. The two Ashreis that open, we explained why they're there. And then we have the body of Ashrei. We concluded, really, the Aleph through Tav, the Aleph Beis concludes, Tilas Hashem Yedaber Pi, and then we tack on an extra Pasuk. V'anachnu nevorach ka me'atav yad Olam malaluka, that we will praise, we will bless you, Hashem, from today and forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever that means, which we'll explain eventually what that means. Why did we tack on this extra Pasuk, v'anachnu? What was missing in Aleph through Tav? Wasn't the whole idea of the acrostic of the Hebrew alphabet that we have captured and we are completely describing with praise our relationship with Hashem? So Rav Amram Gaon explains that the reason that this pasuk was transported to Ashrei, was tacked on and forever associated with Ashrei, is the following. Ashrei begins, the Ashrei proper, Kuf Mem Hei, begins, Tehillah le David, Tehillah. It ends, each of the Hallelukas, the subsequent Hallelukas, begin and end with the word Hallelukah. So therefore, Ashrei has to end with a Hallelujah as well. Since they represent one unit, they are the completing chapters of Tanakh, they are the central part of Psukei Dezimra. In order for them to flow as a unit, in order to have a certain poetry or symmetry, they have to incorporate a Hallelujah. So to end, Tilas Hashem Yidaber Pi ends, Li'olam Va'ed. That's not Hallelujah. Doesn't rhyme. It's not symmetrical. So we found the pasuk v'anachnu nevorach ka, and by including the word Hallelujah, now it is part of the greater picture of the Hallelujahs. The significance is not just the word, it's not just the symmetry, but it's more. What's the purpose of Psukei Dezimra? Psukei Dezimra, as we began, we mentioned when we introduced it, is the courtship with Hashem. Before I get to the Shema and its brachos, which are commitment, and the Amidah, which is an intimate rendezvous with Him, I first have to get to know Him. Every morning, I remind myself. And sleeping overnight, and the day before, I have forgotten, I've drifted. So I have to remind myself, who is Hashem? Who is this Ribono Shalom with whom I have and I want a greater relationship? So we get to know Hashem through Psukei Dezimra, the Prakim, the Kapitloch that were chosen, were specifically chosen because they fit into two themes. Number one, God's providence through nature, and number two, God's providence through history. Those are the essence, the themes of all the prakim and all the psukim, Psukei Dezimra. And every morning I'm supposed to reflect and meditate and think about. It's not a race to finish all these prakim. I don't have to keep up with the chazan. I'm supposed to get something out of it. So if every morning I rotate which parak and all I get, in the time it takes everyone else to mumble the rest of Psukei Dezimra, all I get is one paragraph in rotation, then that's good too. Because I'm supposed to be moved to want to know and feel closer to Hashem. To think about and reflect His hand not only in nature and history, but in the nature of my life and in the history of my life. I'm supposed to see Hashem as guiding everything. That there's a master plan. That there's order and meaning. It's not chaos and random. So now you can understand why Ashrei and the Hallelujahs need a symmetry. They have to work together as a unit. It's not chaos, it's not random, but rather they come together as a complete unit, just as Hashem interacts with the world in that same way. The Beis Yosef quotes the Sefer Eshkol, who gives a different reason. He says, we tack on this pasuk, v'anachnu nevorach ka. Why? Because the promise to the person who finishes Ashrei each day is that they're a ben olam haba. Again, if you go back 23 parts ago, an introduction to Ashrei, we spoke about that the Gemara Chazal say Ashrei is so significant. If you recite it every day, you're a ben olam haba. You get entry to the world to come. Why? Because of Poseches Yadecha, which we talked about, and the acrostic of the Hebrew alphabet. Since we have the promise that if you say Ashrei, and we explained, it doesn't just mean you recite or unload or discharge Ashrei, it means you live the themes of Ashrei. If you live Ashrei, you're a ben olam haba, so we had to end with Me'ata v'ad olam. That not only are you benefit, not only are you blessed in this world, but in the next world as well. And that, why says the Beis Yosef in the name of the Eshkol, is why it was tacked on. The Chassam Sofer gives another reason. The Gemara in Yuma on Pev Zayin tells us, Kol mezakes harabim ein chayt ba liyado. A person who uplifts and rich, earns the merit on behalf of the community, ein chayt ba liyado. Such a person is saved, is spared from making mistakes and having poor judgment. So where do we see someone who's mezakis harabim? The previous pasuk. What happened in the previous pasuk? We said tilas Hashem yidabe pi vivarech kol basar. When I speak and praise Hashem's name, it draws other kol basar. If I talk about how good God is and how much I see Him in my life and how grateful I am, it's going to encourage and promote others to do the same. So a person who's mezakis harabim by tilas Hashem yidaber pi, if I see the good, not the bad, if I focus on what I have, not what's missing, if I give Hashem gratitude, not complaints, if tilas Hashem yidaber pi, if I can train my mouth to say His praise, then vivarech kol basar. Positive peer pressure. It's going to have osmosis, it's going to have become contagious, it's going to have a positive impact on those around me. I will be among those who are mezakeh es harabim, and therefore I'll be deserving of me'atah ve'ad olam. I'll be worthy of going to the next world. But I want to close Ashrei and this last pasuk and explanation with one more interpretation that I saw from a sefer, the Sichos of Rav Shlomo Hoffman, which is a magnificent sefer. And Rav Shlomo Hoffman says the following. He says, you know, we sometimes make a terrible mistake. We get stuck in our past. We have a poor judgment. There's an error in our ways. We violate something. We have an indiscretion. And we think, you know, I'm unworthy. That's really me. The one who's unworthy, who's incapable, who's incompetent. And we get stuck. We marinate and we stew and we perseverate in the past. But a Jew has to live not in the past. How do we praise Hashem? Anach nevarcha. The greatest way to praise Hashem is not to live in the past, but me'ata va'ad olam. You know what? I'm starting again. It's a fresh start. It's a brand new day. It's a new opportunity. The mistakes of yesterday don't have to define my tomorrow. I'm going to live how? Me'ata va'ad olam. From today and going forward. And when I do that, va'anach nevarcha, and we see this specifically in our parsha, because right before Hashem destroys Sodom, He turns to Lot and his family and He says, al tabet acharecha, don't turn around. Don't turn around. And we all know that despite the warning, Lot's wife can't help herself. She turns around, and what did she turn into? A pillar of salt. Josephus claims to have seen the pillar of salt that was Lot's wife. What is the notion that you can't turn around, and why do you turn around? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu should strike her down? Why specifically a pillar of salt? So the Divrei Shmur of Shmuel Weinberg of Slonim, the Slonimer of Melech Biderman quotes, gives the following fantastic pshat. Lot and his wife, Lot and his family, you know, you really should be destroyed with stone. You've made the same mistakes. You're only riding the coattails of Avram. You made terrible mistakes. But al tabet acharecha. Don't turn around. Don't focus on where you were. Focus on where you're going. Don't focus on the mistakes you made. Focus on the changes that you're going to add to your life. And when Lot's wife falls and turns around and is nostalgic for the past, longing for the past, proud of the past, or beating herself up, we don't know what motivated her to turn around. She turned into a pillar of salt. And why salt? Because salt is a preservative. Salt makes you get stuck exactly as you were. That's why Hashem specifically chose stuck. We too run that risk in our lives of turning around and getting stuck in a pillar of salt, getting stuck in the mistakes of the past, unable to move forward. V'anach nevarachka, Kodesh Baruch Hu, the greatest praise, the greatest blessing we can give you is to live lives where we are ma'ata from now, v'ad olam, and only going forward. Hadron alach, Ashrei Yoshevei Veisachah.